Our scripture reading this afternoon is taken from 2 Thessalonians. We'll be reading verses, chapter 3, verses 6 through 15. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 6 through 15. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the traditions that you receive from us. For you yourself know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we will give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, no busy at work, but busybodies. Now such person we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he might be ashamed. But do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you, in your love and mercy and grace, has spoken to us through your word, and also that you have given us the Holy Spirit to understand spiritual things. In humility, we come this afternoon before you, asking for the understanding of your word. Help us, Lord, as we meditate on these verses, to be shaped by you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're getting to the end of this letter, and Paul is closing 2 Thessalonians with a word of exhortation for the Thessalonian church. And this is not something that he had no addressed before, because this is something that he, in his first letter, already talked to them. But it happened that they did not pay attention to his words, and they did not change in this area that he's exhorting them again. So therefore, he sees the need of telling them these words again, something that he already told them in his first letter. Now, this is no a word in this connection with the rest of the letter, as we will see what Paul is saying here is connected with what he already told them in chapter 2. Now, as we look at these verses, I'd like us to consider two questions that we can ask the text that will help us to frame what Paul is teaching to us today. The first question is, what is the issue? What is the problem that Paul is addressing about the Thessalonian church? And the second question is, what is then Paul commanding the Thessalonians to do in order to address this issue? What is the issue? What is the problem that Paul is addressing? And the second question is, then what is Paul asking the Thessalonians to do in order to address the issue? Now, looking at the first question, what is the problem? We start with verse 6 saying, now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness. You keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness. And you can see also in verse 11 that Paul makes it even more clear what he means in this verse. He says, for we hear that some among you walk in idleness, no busy at work, but busy bodies. So you could easily see that Paul's, or the issue that Paul is seeing here is that some brothers within the community of believers of Thessalonica were not working, but they have become busybodies. They were not busy at work, but they have become busybodies. And the thing is that when we read this, there is something behind what Paul is actually saying here. The question that you can ask is, why were not at work, but why they have become busybody? What is the reason for them to stop working and doing what they were called to do and have become busybodies? In fact, when you read these two verses, we have a word translated here for us, the word atactos, the Greek word atactos, as idle or working in idleness, that actually does not help us to understand the root of the problem. Because the symptom is that they were not working, but we don't know really why they were not working. If you would read your King James versions, you would realize that that word is translated as walking disorderly or unruly. Unruly. And actually, that translation gives you a better understanding. You will see later why it gives you a better understanding what is the issue that Paul is addressing here. So there are at least three views on why they were not busy at work, but they have become busybodies. One is that we don't know the reason, because Paul does not tell us right away they are not working and this is why they are not working. And because we are distanced from the Thessalonian church at this point today, there is no way that we can really know why they didn't work or why they were not working. The second view is that probably there was some issues with unemployment in that city, and therefore people were not working. But the problem with that view is that what Paul is addressing here is not that people were not working because they didn't have job opportunities, but people did not want to work. They were refusing to do their work. So the way we can actually answer that question is by looking at the context of both letters, in which Paul is actually addressing an issue that is bigger than the fact that they were not working. And it has to do with what we saw a couple of weeks ago when we saw that some people among the Thessalonian church were preaching were teaching to the Thessalonians that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ has already come. Or it could be also that the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ was so imminent, it will happen very soon, that some believers in Thessalonica decided to stop working. Now, we'll see why this fact that the word idleness is better translated as disorderly, because that is going to explain why actually they stopped working. Look what he says. It says that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the traditions that you have received from us. So the problem was that they were not living their life in accord to what they have received as the message of the gospel. Remember, Paul came there and preached the gospel, and he was clear to them about the things that need to happen before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he also set an example to them how they were to live until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he says, knowing accord with the tradition, he's also referring to the letter that he sent to them, where he exhorted them to work, to be quiet in their life, and to focus in working and not depending on others. So the issue here is that they were walking in disorder because they were not following the traditions that they have received. In other words, the main problem is that they have departed from what they have been taught by Paul and his companions. Now, when we look at what comes after that, Paul goes through verses 7 through 9 to give examples how their lives, the life of Paul and Silas and Timothy, was consistent with the message that they have preached to them. He says, for you yourself know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we work night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. So the consistency of Paul's life with the message was that he have taught them that what they were to do until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ was to be faithful to the calling God has given to them. And Paul has proven with his own life and the life of those who were serving with him that he was faithful to the calling that God has given to them. How was that? Was that by this toil and labor they worked day and night? Paul also tells them that it was that they decided not to take support from them, and it was not because they did not have the right, but because he wanted to give an example to them. So Paul came, and think about this, he's coming to a place where there is no established church, and he's doing outreach, he's planting this church, and this is understandable that he will not require support from those people who he is sharing the gospel, who have not heard the gospel. A way will be that Paul will come with the support of another church. We have the case when he was at Corinth, where he was working also with Aquila and Priscilla, until Timothy came and brought support from Philippi, and then he was able to focus in doing ministry full time. But Paul's main point here is that his life was consistent with the message. And what was the message? The traditions that was passed on to them. That until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, they were supposed to be faithful and work hard in whatever God has called them to do. Again, the issue that Paul is addressing here is not just that they were lazy or idle and they were not working, but the main issue is that they have abandoned the message, that they have abandoned the traditions, the gospel that they have received. And as a result of that, this resulted in an ethical problem in their life. They were not at work, but they have become busy bodies. So that's the problem. But now, what is Paul calling them to do to address this problem? What is Paul's exhortation for them? What are the actions that they have to take? Well, Paul gives, he talks to three groups, at least, in Thessalonica. One is to those who were busybody and they were not at work. Look what he says in verse 10. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. What Paul does here, he goes back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, when God says to man, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread. In other words, he's reminding them that this hath no change. What they had was something that some people call an over-realized eschatology, which is that they were thinking that some things that were supposed to happen in the future at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ has already happened in their time. And as a result of that, they stopped working. But what Paul is saying, this actually has no change. What God called men to do is still valid at this point, at this day. Therefore, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. The second thing that you see that he says to them in verse 12, he says, such a person we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Actually, the word that Paul uses here for command is parangelo. And this word is a very strong word that was used by officers to give orders to their soldiers. So Paul is using this strong word to say, I command you, I give you this order in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to do what? To do their work quietly. Remember, what was happening is not just that they stopped working, but they became also busybodies. They were actually affecting the peace of the church. They were going around and actually teaching the same doctrine to others, encouraging others not to work and actually depend probably in members of the congregation who were wealthier who could support them. But Paul is saying, no, you are called to work quietly. And he says, and to earn your own living. And I think by saying that, he's also sending a message to those people who were supporting them, saying, stop supporting them because they are called to work quietly and earn their own living. Now, the second group that Paul addressed here is not just those who were busybodies, but also the church. To the church, he says a list of things. For example, he starts in verse 6 to say, keep away from them. Keep away from whom? From any brother who is walking in idleness. So Paul was concerned that actually this wrong teaching and practice will affect the body of Christ, will affect the church. And therefore he's saying, make sure that this is not influencing your way of living. This is keep away from this doctrine, which is not the traditions that we have commanded to you. The other thing that Paul says is in verse 14, you see, he says, take note of that person. If you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, one of the problems that the Corinthians church had is that they were ignoring and have not paid attention to that brother who was living in sin in the church, and they have not taken note of that person. And by doing that, they were allowing members of the congregation maybe to believe that that was okay. To take note of that person was to declare to the congregation that that was not right before God. All the things that we are seeing here that Paul is commanding the church is actually church discipline. It's how the church sanctifies the body of Christ. In verse 14, he also says, have nothing to do with him. Now, this is stronger than what he says in verse 6, when he says, keep away from him, or keep away from anyone any brother who is walking in idleness. Here he's saying, have nothing to do with him. Now, this has a goal, and the goal is actually to restore that brother. You can see that in the following line, when he says, have nothing to do with him, that he might be ashamed. Now, you could also translate that he might repent of his sin. The purpose of having nothing to do with him was not to humiliate him, but actually to help him realize of his sin. Now, some people have thought that what we are seeing here is almost the same that Paul is telling the Corinthians in chapter 5, when he is actually excommunicating that man who was living in sin. But we can see here a difference. This is actually before getting to that point, because what he says in verse 15 shows that brother is not at that point where he has to be excommunicated. He says, do not regard him as an enemy. But in Corinthians chapter 5, they were supposed to regard him as a Gentile, that person who was living in sin. But he says, but warn him as a brother. Warn him as a brother. So again, we go back to Paul give instructions to the busybodies, those who were living in idleness. He says to them, get back to work. He says to them, earn your own living. He says to them, stop being busybodies in the body of Christ. But Paul is also commanding the church to exercise its responsibility as disciplining the body of Christ. Because this is the instrument that God uses to sanctify the members of the body of Christ. And by doing that, and the church does that by keeping away from the sinner, by taking note of the person, by having nothing to do with him, so that person might be ashamed and repent. But not to regard him as an enemy, but as a brother that we are reaching out and bringing him in. But now also Paul is speaking to his Christians in general, and he gives this very important principle. He says, as for you in verse 13, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Bell, one of commentary, will put it this way. Doing good is, an encouragement to continue to work faithfully in whatever livelihood God has given. Sometimes we have confusion thinking that when we talk about God's calling in your life, it's always to do full-time ministry. But the reality is that God has called everybody to whatever he has given him as a vocation to serve him in whatever form God has called him to serve him. We're all called, whether you are an engineer or you are an architect or whatever you are in life, to be the aroma of Christ wherever you go. To glorify God's name in whatever you do. Therefore, when he says, and for you, brothers, remember, we have here the busybodies, those who are not helping the body of Christ, but are actually creating troubles because they have stopped working, not fulfilling the call in their life. But he says, to you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Do all you can in whatever God has given to you to glorify God and to bring glory to his name rather than bringing shame to his name. Now, you see, Paul here, if we think about us as a church today, God is speaking to us in the same way. If you are somehow living as not busy at work, not focusing what God has called you to do, he's saying, stop being busybodies, but God has called you to serve him in whatever you do. But also he is speaking to us as a congregation with the responsibility that we have, not just to walk in our life in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Christ, but also to help our brothers and sisters who are not walking that way. By what? By exhorting them. By keeping away from them. By having nothing to do with them in order to bring them back to Christ. This is a message that it was relevant for them in this church, this Thessalonian church, but it's relevant for us today as well. Because remember that when we look at the word attractus, does not mean necessarily being idle, no busy at work, but it means not being in accordance to the gospel of Christ. We are called to, as he says, to live in accord with the traditions that have been delivered to us, which is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together as a church to worship you, and for the plan of redemption that you have established for us before the foundation of the world. We thank you, Lord, that you have also given us the responsibility to help our brothers and sisters who need to be reminded of your word, but help us also to be reminded of your word. Help us, Lord, not to grow weary in doing good, but in everything that we do, to do it for your glory and honor. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.